Welcome to episode 88 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. In this episode, Katie and I are talking about the concept of calories in and calories out. Katie's going to give us her professional opinion on if this concept is really a myth or something that we should be following. All right, on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Okay, so before we launch into this topic, let's talk about what we did last night.
Where do we begin? I'm surprised that we thought that we could record today because I kind of had a sore voice this morning from Taylor Swift. Like, it was the best concert ever, hands down.
Yeah, we went to the Taylor Swift concert in Indy, and it was at the football stadium, and it was the attendance record for the stadium, which I'm still like, whoa, there were a lot of people there, and it was amazing.
And people dressed up, and there were young people, there were old people, there were a lot of girls, a lot of guys. Like, I love music because it just brings like random people together, like who you wouldn't like assume to be Taylor Swift fans, but were like diehards in costumes. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's a good point, because everyone there was like the people that purposely went out of their way to like get on the pre-sale list and buy tickets when they first came out, that kind of thing, because you know that stuff sells out so quickly.
Yes, so freaking awesome. But today we're talking about calories. I think this has just been such a huge topic in the nutrition and fitness industry. I mean, so much of what we hear every single day and what we're seeing on TV and in ads and different things are all revolved around calories, especially when it comes to weight loss or really anything around nutrition. I feel like calories are brought up.
Yeah. And even last night we were on those scooters, like those scooters that you can rent in cities. Katie and I took two of them, and they even told you how many calories you burnt, which we were laughing at because it's like you're riding on a scooter. So no, you're not burning any calories. But like we see calories probably on a daily basis.
So I first wanted to talk about, you know, what is a calorie? Like, does anyone even know what that is? And that is actually a unit of measurement. So the idea of a calorie came from, if you take a piece of food, what is the energy? And that unit of measurement is calories, or how many calories or how much energy does it take to burn a certain food item? So let's say, for example, when you flip over your nutrition facts label on the back and it says, you know, this package is 100 calories. Well, that means it takes 100 of this unit of measurement to burn. And when you think burn, like burn into ashes, that is what it's measuring.
So where do you even think this concept of calories in and calories out, where does it come from?
So if we're talking about terms of like pounds and body weight, in theory, right, 1 pound is equivalent to 3,500 calories. And so a lot of calculations out there, you'll see the math of, well, if you can burn 3,500 calories, then that's going to lead to a deficit of 1 pound. And so a lot of these equations that you see, so like MyFitnessPal or things like that, you know, you plug in this information and it spits out a number based on that, you know, theory that it takes 3,500 calories equals 1 pound. So if you lose or get rid of or somehow negate 3,500 calories from your diet or whatever you're eating or expend that energy, then in theory, you're going to lose one weight. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. But I have to ask, how standard is that for everyone? Like, is it pretty standard that if I burn, like, does it fluctuate per person?
For sure. And that's where the confusion comes in, you know, and it just, we should ask ourselves, is it that simple? And the answer is no. I mean, nutrition and metabolism is not simple. But one easy way to explain this is, you know, why this number that, you know, 3,500 calories isn't necessarily it is a place to start, but it's not necessarily the best unit of measurement. Because that's to say that, okay, let's say you ate a candy bar and Sammy ate a candy bar. Well, it's going to take your body a lot longer to break down or use up the energy from that candy bar than it would for Sammy, right? Because Sammy's younger, she's growing. I mean, there's a lot of different factors. Like how your body's going to use that fuel is much different than her body, right? So if you look at this package and you're eating the same thing, well, how is that really necessarily useful? Because how your body metabolizes that is different than the way someone else's does.
Right. So we take into consideration size. Like we know that someone that's bigger than someone else needs more calories just to for their body to function. But then we also have to think about, like you just said, everything else that's going on in the body. Like, are they growing? Are they nursing? So are they producing food for somebody else? Is their body fighting off a cold? Would that change?
Yeah, there's so many other factors than height and weight is one of them. And, you know, body size, body composition. But, you know, I always like to think of like the clinical setting. You know, if we replace the word calorie with just energy, you know, we get someone in a hospital setting who has third degree burns, and maybe they're not, you don't think of them as needing a lot of calories, but in that situation, their body's expending a lot of energy because of those burns, or if someone has a wound. So for example, that person, let's say, 5'10" male who's on, you know, 180 pounds, he might need to consume 5,000 calories, even though he's lying in bed. Right. And that's just to maintain the energy that his body is expending in order to heal.
Wow. That's fascinating to think about. So like you said, we know the whole concept of like calories in, calories out as like a weight loss mechanism, that if we eat less and we move more, that we will lose weight. That's like the concept of calories in, calories out. So what is the problem with that?
The problem with that, and my immediate thought of this, is all the different diets or, you know, strict calories that people are put on, right? People plug their height, their weight, their goal weight into MyFitnessPal, and it just spits out this number. And it's not taking into account all those other things. You know, maybe it asks, are you an athlete or are you not? And like that gives a little bit of variety, but not necessarily. It's not taking into account, you know, what's your body composition? What is your, do you sit all day? Do you stand all day? Do you chase kids around the house? You know, do you have wounds or, you know, other things that are that cause you to have a higher metabolism than someone else. So what ends up happening is that people typically end up under eating, which can be very detrimental, basically halt your metabolism and cause all sorts of issues in the body.
So what's the difference between under eating and eating less in order to lose weight?
That's a great question. So let's kind of look at first, you know, what is under eating? I don't even think that term is really thrown out a lot. So under eating is defined as restraining eating in order to keep your weight under control, right? So intentionally saying, okay, I'm going to hold back on the amount of food I'm eating or the calories that I'm eating in order to control my weight. It could be severe eating restraint to keep your weight under strict control. So, you know, maybe in social settings, or this whole thought of willpower, which we've talked about before, of, you know, saying no to different things to basically not consume the extra calories. It could be eliminating specific food groups. So we see this a lot in, you know, ketogenic diets or low fat, low carb, specifically carbohydrates, right? Those tend to get a bad rap, but that could be considered under eating, where you're cutting out a whole food group because of these, you know, health fears or this fear that you're going to gain weight because of this certain food group, right?
Okay, so what are some of the more extreme versions of under eating?
This is where we really dive into that gray line between disordered eating and, you know, diagnosed eating disorder. So under eating, let's say, for example, with someone who has bulimia, you know, they're to the extent that they're afraid that if they're going to start eating, that they would go out of control, right? So they lose that sense of control, kind of that binge purge, you know, cycle that they run into. Another example would be, you know, extreme under eating could be in someone who has anorexia nervosa, where they are almost fearful of food and they have kind of an unhealthy obsession, or, you know, this fear of that this food is going to cause weight gain and how it's going to affect their body. So that's considered under eating, right? Is basically any form of restriction in with a goal or a mindset in mind of weight control.
So let's say someone is just trying to find like a healthy balance with their food. How would they know if they're under eating?
There's lots of, you know, actual physical signs to look out for. I think first use your common sense. You know, where are you getting your information from? If you're, you know, following some cookie cutter diet that you found on the internet, okay, well, you know, think about it. Is that right for you? Or maybe you need a little bit more guidance, you know, professional guidance. But some physical signs that you can look out for are definitely low energy, right? Just kind of feeling fatigued and drained. Insomnia, if you're having trouble sleeping at night, that can be a sign of undereating. Mood swings. So, you know, ask yourself, have there been moments where you're super upset about something, or, you know, you're moody, kind of up and down, if that's out of the norm for you? Do you have a lack of focus or ability to concentrate, like whether it's at work or at home, or you just kind of feel like you have this fog and you're just kind of in this unclear mindset? Depression or anxiety, like we don't think of that necessarily related to food, but do you have anxiety around food or certain situations, or, you know, are you feeling depressed? I mean, not related to food, but just kind of overall, are you having any symptoms like that? If you're cold, if you're always feeling cold and that kind of goes along with being fatigued, that can be a sign of some certain vitamin and mineral deficiencies that can occur when we undereat. Irregularities in your menstrual cycle. So if it's light or extra heavy, or you're skipping months and there's no chance that you're pregnant, you know, that could be another sign. Infertility issues can arise. A lot of times we see this, or people think when you're overweight or obese that you can't get pregnant, but also the same thing can happen when you're too thin or you're not eating enough. That can lead to infertility issues in females. And then, of course, as well, irregularities with bowel movements. So are you having major, I know no one likes to talk about this, but are you having major issues with constipation and just your bowels are all out of whack? Those can all be signs of undereating. And I think those we don't think of those aligning with food.
Yeah, you just see that symptom as its own symptom. Like, why is this happening? And you don't think like, oh, maybe it's because I'm under eating. All right. So besides feeling these effects that you just described, what's the damage that under eating can do?
I mean, obviously, all those that I just talked about, those are all physical damages. I mean, of course, that's not good for your health if you're not sleeping, if you're having all these mood swings. I mean, those are all physical symptoms. But we also have to think about what's going on in your brain, you know? If you're under eating, it can have a hormonal issue as well. And then you have to think, you know, well, what's going to happen when you, quote unquote, throw in the towel? And then you're going to end up gaining weight, right? And then it kind of that cycle continues. So that's never good, right? From a mental aspect, the mental damages of just being in social settings and restricting yourself, and not even in social settings, but I think that concept of restriction, which we've talked about all the time on lots of episodes around with talking about intuitive eating and just having that restrictive mindset and holding back and, you know, thinking all or nothing, some of the panics or obsessions that can, you know, evolve around food and put you in an unhealthy place mentally, not just around food, but about your body. I mean, I think the two go hand in hand. And just overall, your self-esteem and your confidence, again, even just outside of food, it's like that consumes you. You're constantly thinking of, am I eating too much for my body, or did I move enough today? And then it again becomes this calories in, calories out, and that everything's transactional. And well, did I exercise enough to burn? Like, my pet peeve is when I see, like after Thanksgiving, like, how many burpees it's going to take to burn off that turkey, or like turkey burn classes, like, that just drives me insane.
Oh, me too. Because like we said, it's not that simple. I think that it makes sense that like the weight loss industry would advertise it being that simple, because if it weren't, how would they market weight loss? Like if they did say, oh, well, it's really complicated, but like, try this, like that wouldn't be as clear of a marketing message to the rest of us. So it does make sense that it's been distilled down.
Right. And our bodies are smart, because basically what happens is if we undereat, I mean, okay, so let's use an example of someone who's training for a marathon, right? If you go from your baseline of just, you know, your regular exercise, nothing too crazy, just average Joe in the gym, and then you start training for a marathon, well, the idea is, right, well, you're expending, when we talk about energy, you're expending a lot of energy. So if you eat the same, you'll lose weight. And that might be true starting off, but our bodies are smart and our metabolism adapts. And so if you keep expending a lot more energy, but you're not consuming enough to, you know, at least sustain that energy for a little bit, your body's going to go into that, you may hear that like starvation mode. And I don't think that's necessarily the case, but you have these hormonal issues where your body is smart and it adapts and you're not going to lose weight. You're going to have all these other symptoms that are going on because your body wants to stay in this level of homeostasis, right? It likes everything to be balanced. And if it's not, it's going to be all out of whack and you're going to feel like crap, basically.
So you said earlier that someone that's been under eating, if they then throw in the towel, then, you know, they're going to kind of bounce back and gain weight. So if someone is saying, Katie, I have been under eating for a long time, because that would have been me a couple of years ago, how do they healthfully start adding back some food in without worrying about gaining weight suddenly?
I think it starts with a mental shift of, you know, maybe go back to someone who's listening, maybe go back and listen to some of those podcasts where we've talked about creating that mindset shift. But, you know, ask yourself, why is that you're fearful of weight gain or what it is? Because really, once you can let go of that mindset, that's where you're going to be able to start the process of healing.
Yeah, I love that. I think that it's hard to imagine accepting your body as it is and not pursuing weight loss because it is such an obsession in our culture. And even if, like, deep down you think, like, I'm never going to be where I want to be, the striving gives you something to do. But each of our bodies is different. And I totally agree that as soon as we can accept what our body needs, not what we're forcing our body to look like, but what our body needs to perform at its best, oh my gosh, world of change.
Right. It makes me so sad when I see patients or clients, or especially like older, not older women, but women older than myself, who have just dieted and dieted for years. And basically they're, because of, you know, this concept, and they've been under eating for years and years, their body is, I mean, their hormones and all that is so jacked up that they cannot lose weight. And so that's the first thing I tell them, that, you know, it's not your fault. Like, diets have failed you. You haven't failed. It's the diets that you've been doing, you know, that industry has failed you, you know, and it's hard for them to get past this point. I think that's definitely the hardest point, is that mindset of just where to begin, of to put weight loss on the back burner.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. Like, all the diets that you've tried and that they've worked, and then, oh, they're not working anymore. And if only you could follow them more closely, and if only you could stick with this, that right there is the success of the diet industry. And so as soon as you can accept that it's not the diets, it's not you, it is the diets, then you can get rid of all that guilt. Like, that is what you hear the most often, and from friends, from family, is that, oh yeah, I was doing so good, but I just need to start watching what I eat again. I just need to start doing this again, doing that again. And it's like, what if we all found a healthy balance in our food, and we could, like, I don't know, this is dramatic, but like, let's focus on changing the world instead of worrying about our diets, right?
A freaking man. So with that being said, you know, I think some steps for people to take, you want to be a healthier you. We get that. You wouldn't be listening to this episode if you weren't striving for that. So think of some other ways to track your progress. Yes, calories is a place to start, but don't have that be, ideally, I wouldn't want you to look at that, but if you need to, right, you're in that process, you're working through it, find other ways to track your progress as well. So there is actually, I wanted to share this with our listeners, there's this meal plan / mindfulness tracker that I stumbled upon that we'll have to link in the show notes or post on our Instagram, because I love how it has you basically as a log, right? And rather than focusing on calories and macronutrients, you're focusing more on that mindfulness piece before and after your meals, and just really looking at how food is making you feel. And I think for someone, if you're under eating, really starting to be in tune to some of those things that your body's telling you that we talked about earlier, that can help you to make a shift towards maybe eating more, because you know that it will make you feel better.
Yeah, that's a great message. One thing that I just started thinking about the other day was, I have like some hormonal imbalances, which I don't know if we really talked about much on the podcast, but you know that I get cystic acne, which my doctors once thought I had PCOS, but now I guess I don't know. So I've never been able to figure out what it is. But one of the ways that they say that you can treat it is through cutting out carbs. And I'm just like, I used to try that because I wanted to get rid of it. And now it's coming back. And I think it's coming back because my body is getting back to like not pregnancy hormones because I've been breastfeeding. So it's taken a long time to kind of get back to like a normal just me going on in here. And so my cystic acne is coming back, which is so freaking annoying. But I'm like, I'm not cutting out carbs. Like that's it. I know that cannot be the right thing for my whole body and my entire health. So stay tuned on what I try to figure out for the cystic acne because it's got to go.
Girl, I hear you with that. And I think for so many people, that's where you have to be careful when you hear all these things out there because, again, there's not all one size fits all. And you have to weigh the, you know, the pros and cons and the priorities in your life. And you're not using you as an example, but well, is the acne worth cutting out all carbs in your diet, right? Like what's going to be bring you more stress? And then that kind of help put someone in a mindset, well, I must not care about it because if I cared, then I would cut it all out. But it's not that simple. So just know that it's complicated and it's not that easy.
Yeah, I was thinking that when you were listing those symptoms was back in the day when we did do calorie restriction for weight loss, it was like that was never worth it. To try so hard to lose weight by restricting calories, but then be getting terrible sleep, feeling crappy because you're like you said, the mood swings of just, I'm so hungry, but I'm fine. I have to do this. Like, just that is not health. Like, can we all just say, like, that right there is not health.
Not health and most definitely not a way to live. I mean, we can't function. That is another pet peeve. My Fitness Pal puts like everybody and their mother at 1200 calories. And I don't think I've ever, even in clinical setting, put anyone around our age or older on that amount. Like that's too low for 80% of the people. And don't use that as an end all be all, please.
Well, if you have any follow-up questions about this, because I feel like some people that have maybe this is one of their first episodes that they've listened to, they're like, whoa, what? What? So if you have any follow-up questions, contact Katie, contact me, and I will tell you to contact Katie. send us a message on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you find us, and we can give you some more information because I feel like this is kind of like a cliffhanger. But we also have a lot of great other episodes in the past of kind of explaining like, okay, once we throw calories in, calories out the window, now where do we start? And we believe that's with intuitive eating.
I hope this episode isn't leaving you feeling like anxiety from that cliffhanger. So let's end it on a positive note. Lauren, what is your latest food find?
So this past week, I have been loving cottage cheese. I've gone through stages of cottage cheese and my mom ate it a lot growing up. So I ate it a lot growing up. And my mom would eat the snack of cottage cheese and frozen mixed veggies in cottage cheese. And I love those foods that remind me of my childhood because it's just like comforting, you know? And so I got cottage cheese randomly for some reason and we always have frozen veggies in our freezer. So I put that together and ate it a couple times this week and I was like, this is such a great snack. What about you?
That is so random, but I love it. I have to go to the grocery after this. So for me, I convinced Joey to let me make barbecue chicken tonight. Which, like, I think it's me, but he just won't say it. I think he just hates the way that I cook chicken. He's like, no, I don't like chicken. I'm over chicken. I'm like, no, you just don't like the way that I cook chicken because I'm a food freak, food safety freak. And so I dry all my meats out because I don't have a meat thermometer. So maybe I should just get that and fix my problems, but whatever.
Wait, so how do you make barbecue chicken? What do you – just describe what you mean by that.
Well, ideally, I'd grill it, but we don't have a grill, so I just bake it and put some barbecue on it. Nothing fancy over here. That's it.
Yeah, I do love, like, barbecue. David never wants to do barbecue chicken wings. That's what I always think of when I think of barbecue, but then we also really like doing pulled or, like, shredded chicken in barbecue because then it does keep the moisture more. That's what I was curious about.
No, because I did this the other week. I had one of those Dole chopped salads that are just so easy because, like, you can eat a whole one. You just mix it up. It's got little toppings and dressing. I think it's, like, a cabbage-based. And you mix it up, and then I'll add, like, chicken. It's really – if you get a Southwest one with some barbecue chicken, you add in some avocado. Like, that is refreshing. I know it's not summer anymore, but that is like refreshing summer to me. All right, guys, that is it for today's episode. As always, if you enjoyed listening to this, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes and hit that subscribe button so you get all the latest updates on when we release episodes. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.